said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one.
More of Lake Effect Now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers. Art and the people who make it are often found on the margins of society. In the case of painter M. Winston, those margins include a cell and guards. Mr. Winston is incarcerated, and it was just an accident that his work, miniature abstract paintings, was discovered. And while he can't attend, his work is getting a full gallery show in the Third Ward. The exhibit called Inside Out opens this Friday, and since we couldn't speak with Mr. Winston, we decided to invite his Buddhist teacher to talk in his place. Tonin O'Connor is no stranger to Milwaukee. For 21 years, he was the managing director of the Milwaukee Repertory Theater and was also the head priest at the Milwaukee Zen Center for a decade. She began the center's prison ministry in the late 90s, and through that work met M. Winston and learned about his art. O'Connor gives Lake Effect's Bonnie North the details.
M. Winston is currently incarcerated in one of the state prisons. I've known him for probably 10 years because between 17 years following 1998, I was going inside actually many different prisons to offer Buddhist programming. And Winston, Mr. Winston, was part of one of my groups. After I stopped going inside, I continued to be in contact with him because he writes occasionally for a quarterly newsletter of inmate writing that the Milwaukee Zen Center publishes. And occasionally he would write me about Zen matters or, you know, Buddhist questions. And I haven't actually seen him probably in, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 years, but we've remained in contact. All those years, I knew him only as a pleasant guy, very serious about his Buddhist practice, you know, good in coming to groups and whatnot. And I know from his current teacher that that's true as well, and they have pastoral visits and things. I had no idea that behind this very pleasant guy, who's now I think about 55, was a major artist. And I don't think I would have known, despite all of the, you know, contact over the years with him and with his teacher and with other inmates, if he hadn't elected at the prison he's at to, I think just to be helpful, posted a couple of his small paintings on a job, some sort of a notice about a job fair that was coming. Well, the officers and the staff saw them and were electrified. He tells a wonderful story about one of the, they call them white shirts, but one of the correctional officers, you know, came to his cell and said, "What is this? This is wonderful. And do you do it all the time?" And he pulled out, he has a notebook that he's been keeping for years and years and years. He's been doing this since he was a child, with over 600 of these miniature abstract paintings.
And I was going to say, we have to say that they are small.
They're very small. They run from maybe an inch by 2 inches to maybe
3 by 3.
Three by three, perhaps. Some are rectangular, some are square. But they're very small. And at the same time, they have extraordinary depth. But anyway, what happened was, the correctional officer, you know, kind of spread the word, and he was then was brought into the prison library, where the librarian got very, very excited. One of the officers had brought in a book of illustrations of an artist named Pat Pasloff. She was Milton Resnick's partner and did abstract work in the 50s. And I got this letter from Mr. Winston saying, and she said, my work was better. They liked it better. So what I'm trying to emphasize here is how supportive the prison staff have been of suddenly his emergence as an artist.
Even though he's been doing this, he's 55 and he's been doing this since he was a child, I'm assuming he's self-taught?
As far as I know, he is self-taught. He talks about doing art in school. He was very proud of the fact he grew up in Mississippi, but he was asked to draw, you know, pictures of presidents for President's Day on the high school hallway and stuff. But he says something interesting, that for quite a long time he sort of did what other people wanted him, you know, to do. And then he went back to what he really loves is abstract. So that the way he presents his vision of a place or a happening is abstract. And at the same time, what has struck me is that you can see the places. I mean, they will be named Paris, London, New Mexico, Dawn, Western Australia. And you look at them and you think, holy smoke, there it is, you know, although they're abstract.
The thing I noticed, looking, you have you have some selections here that you brought with you, is just sitting across from them here in the studio, there's so much color. He's a colorist.
And
it's gorgeous stuff.
Yeah. Well, and some of them, you know, they're not all, these are quite brilliant. Some are quite dark. But his handling of color relationships and suggestions of space and distance are really, to me, quite stunning. And as I was telling you before we started, what happened to me was that because there was this excitement, you know, where he is, he sent me a letter. And I opened the letter and out fell three or four of these tiny paintings onto my desk. And I looked at them and I have to tell you, the mental response was sort of, holy smoke, this is the real thing. This is the real thing. And somebody said to me once, well, how do you know it's the real thing? And I got kind of huffy and said, well, in 1954, which is, of course, 65 years ago, I graduated from Swarthmore College with a degree, a bachelor's degree, with high honors in art history. Now, I didn't use it. I ran off into the theater and then I've had 20 years of work, you know, as a Zen teacher. But somehow you get trained to see things if you're going to really spend all your time looking at art of various kinds.
Well, and that also works with Buddhism, too, because my understanding is noticing.
Buddhism is about awareness, basic awareness. And there are two things about it. One is to see, really see. And this certainly has affected all those years. For 17 years, I was going inside the prison system. And I'm very sorry now that I've gotten so old. I can't make the long drives because I miss it terribly. But what Buddhism does, it says, look at people. See them as they are. Don't make snap judgments. Don't, in this case, be affected by the fact that they all wear a little driver's license-sized card around their neck that says offender on it. Don't worry about the mistakes they made that brought them here, because this is now. This is what we're doing. And I met extraordinary people who were really making an effort to alter the way they saw things and the way their lives were going to be lived. And some of them I still know who are still inside, and yet they've made real contributions to the life of inside. You know, it's a life. It's not necessarily just this time before you get out. It's also, it can be, if you're in for a very long sentence, it's your life. But the other thing between awareness is empathy. And people used to ask me when I worked in the theater, well, what a weird, you know, they thought it was weird that I made the shift to Buddhism. I said, not in the least, because Buddhism is about interdependence and compassion. And for me, theater has always been about creating situations in which people can have empathy for people, for situations they would never personally encounter. You know, maybe thousands of years ago, maybe another country, maybe the kind of person they will never meet. So to me, the transition into Buddhist study and teaching was absolutely natural. And what I like about M. Winston's work is that there is such a sense of connection with place, although it's abstract. But I think over the years, he just gave it away, you know, or kept it. This size is the style he loves and he's best at, I think. I've seen some of the larger ones. They're okay. This stuff, these miniatures
this
are brilliant.
This is the sweet spot.
This is it, you know. Yeah. But also because within the prisons, there are actually art programs called Hobby in most of the prisons with teachers and so on. In fact, I know one inmate in for life who has become a master cabinet maker, you know, due to training in prison. But if you make something in Hobby, as they call it, that is, let's say, 8.5 by 11 or larger, you have to send it out to family. You cannot keep it. But these little tiny paintings that are his meditation have just gone into a notebook, you know.
Well, you just said something very interesting, mm-hmm. that he considers this his meditation.
Yes, he does.
This is a meditative practice for
him. It's a meditative practice for him. In fact, I had a funny letter from him sort of joking and saying, you know, I opened my big mouth and told her why I did it, because it's a kind of private matter. He told the officer, you know, but that he does it as a form of meditation. The group of paintings that I brought in are called Nirvana series, so they're directly have to do with his practice. That's not true for, I would say, the bulk of what he does. It's just his response to things, and interestingly enough, often places he has never seen except through television or movies or something, and yet there's a kind of remarkable sense of place in the miniatures.
How do you think his Buddhist practice has informed his art? Do you think it would look different if he was not a practicing Buddhist?
I really can't say. I don't know. I think it's almost the other way around, that the art is a meditation that assists the Buddhist practice. I mean, I know he studied quite a long time. I know that he does what we would call ordinary meditation, zazen, and he attends the Buddhist group that's being led at the prison he's in. But I honestly don't know. I do think that anything that requires or asks of us total absorption is a meditation that is very close to what Buddhism is suggesting we can do with each moment of our life. You know, be, what's the word I want? Be free of all the bedeviling other worries and things because I'm doing this. And I think, you know, people recognize it. They recognize it in baseball players. You know, they're always talking about finding the zone, or you can do it if you're reading a book. But it has to do with nothing else really disturbs that moment. So I think that for him, you know, prison is the cacophony, the noise, the hostility, the negativity is powerful. And our prisons are very overcrowded, which means that it's terribly tough on every inmate and terribly tough on every guard, for that matter. So that to be able to concentrate and paint these little wonderful little paintings, I think, is a kind of way to take yourself away from all that.
I was going to say a refuge.
It's a refuge, really.
Yeah.
Really a refuge. But I think, I don't know, I'm not a painter. I've done some writing, but anything creative is a kind of refuge. You know, whether you're in prison or you're working in a corporate office, it doesn't...
Which some people would say would be in prison.
I understand that some of them... That some I said that and then I thought, oops, well...
Yeah, well, a different kind of prison. Yeah.
A different kind. And it is true that one of the major understandings of Buddhism is that, you know, we are imprisoned by our own mind's illusions about how things are. So we would say that being in a physical prison is no barrier or no better or no worse than me sitting here talking to you to freeing myself from the mess in my head, if you will, you know, all my misconceptions and all my misunderstandings and achieving some kind of clarity. But I certainly think that I'm hopeful. There's a considerable movement going on here in Wisconsin now under an organization called Wisdom. I don't really know anything about them, but Wisdom has chapters all over the state that are trying to have a positive effect on a whole host of things that are wrong with our current system of incarceration. And I'm hopeful that finally that will begin to have some effect.
Do you think that showing work like this to the public that would not normally even associate art with prison in any way, shape, or form, yeah, do you think that will help?
I think so, because one of the problems we have is that, and I'm going to make a generalization here, but that the average person thinks of criminals, thugs, put them away, never let them out. They're dangerous, forgetting that the majority of them will get out. And that a system whose purpose is largely to either warehouse or punish will not make them better. It may even make them worse. So that for our own welfare and our society's welfare, we need prisons that are not so crowded, where there's better programming. I will say the people I've known inside who are offering programming are working their heads off. I mean, they're doing the very best they can, but often the lines are very long. You know, if there's a course in computer use, you may have to wait 6 months to, you know, you're in line for it, that because they don't have the space or the people. But I think if people can begin to understand that those who are in prison, those who wear that tag offender, are people. They're people like the people you pass in the corridor at work. They're no different. They've made some of them hideous mistakes, but they're all human beings with different backgrounds, many of them having grown up in horrifying circumstances and gotten their whole approach to life pretty twisted by it. I'm not saying they're victims, because many of them are victimizers, but it seems to me that anything that can be done to say we have put away and are not assisting people who could be valuable to our society is really important. And seeing artwork like this, I know another Buddhist teacher from Madison who's talking about the fact that he and some other people are publishing a book of poetry by a man who actually was in Boscobel for years, to suggest that just lumping them all together and thinking we've done our job when we put them away, and then we would like to punish them the whole time they're there. I think you have to understand that being in prison is punishment, period. Even if the situation, the conditions were better than they are today. But when you then say that you're in prison to be constantly punished and we never want to see you again, we're wasting talent. We're wasting resources. We're spending far too much money. I mean, people are always, they howl about their taxes. Well, let me tell you, an enormous amount of our taxes are going to support a prison system. We have, I think, 22 or 23,000 inmates in prison here in Wisconsin. I have a friend in Iowa who is a Buddhist teacher who also goes into the Iowa prison system. They have 8,000. And I don't know, Minnesota is significantly less, right next door. So something has been happening in this state, and a lot of it is racism, because compared to the percentage of population people of color occupy, the percentage in prison is enormous. You are far more likely.
It's like reversed. Yeah.
You're far more likely to go into prison if you're African American or Latino or Asian than if you're white for the same crime. I think it might be important to know that Mr. Winston is African American and a brilliant artist. What else can I say?
Has he said what he hopes comes out of this exhibition for himself?
He is so surprised by the whole thing. And I'm a little surprised and excited because, there I was, yes, an old theater person, yes, a Zen teacher, but sitting with little paintings on my desk. And so he's suddenly gone from someone that nobody knew he did this at all to someone who's created, excitement where he is, to someone who suddenly finds himself having a regular exhibition at a commercial gallery. And the last email I had from him, inmates can email through a thing called Core Links. But in any case, this email saying, everything's changed. I think my future has opened. And he said, and I hope I'm big enough for it. I think it's challenging him because he's got to be somebody worthy of his work. And up until now, and as he said, money from this exhibition or anything that he sells is going to go into two things, a restitution account, because he has some restitution to make for the crime. I don't know what it was. And a release account, because otherwise he'll get out at 61 with no special skills, modest education, African American, and guess what? As he said, I'll be on the streets. So I think that, I loved getting the email saying, I just hope I'm big enough for what seems to be happening. And I think he will be. I mean, he's really he's a nice person.
Well, and the art is wonderful.
Yep.
The art is just terrific.
It's stunning.
Tonan O'Connor, it has been such an honor having you in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure.
The Reverend Tonan O'Connor has been a practicing Buddhist since 1986. She began the Milwaukee Zen Center's prison ministry in 1998 and was the resident priest at the center from 2001 to 2011. The artwork of one of her incarcerated students, M. Winston, is part of the Inside Out show opening this Friday at the Portrait Society in the Third Ward. You can see photos of some of Mr. Winston's paintings at WUWM.com.